Hey guys, Kyler back with Kyler Burrell's Unedited Podcast, episode number 122. Won't be a super long episode today, you know. Like I said, right now I want to mainly talk about what's happened in the playoffs and, you know, college basketball. But next week we will start NBA as we approach the trade deadline. I'm going to cook up some trade ideas for some players that could be on the move. You know, Zach LaVine, DeJounte Murray, even Trae Young potentially. Some other guys that could be on that could be moved. We'll get into that though next week. To kick it off, we'll do NFL, of course, conference championship reactions, Super Bowl breakdown. We'll do keys to victory. Discuss what I think about the odds and a little early prediction. I'll give my final prediction. On next week's Unedited, because we'll have, you know, the Super Bowl's not for another 2 weeks, so. We'll get into that next week on Unedited. We also will do Champions Leagues around the corner. So I'm going to do my round of 16 predictions for the Champions League. Each leg, obviously there's two legs, and we'll, you know, who's advancing. We'll get into my Power 12, my 12.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings. New top 16 with a new next five out. And then we'll get into Fee versus Me, college basketball, big games of the week picks. We got 12 this week. It is a loaded college basketball slate, which I love. Then we'll get into my updated top 15 2024 NBA draft college prospects again. So this will be an updated list for college prospects, not the whole thing. But I think towards the end of maybe mid to late February, we'll get into a 1.0 mock draft with all the prospects involved. So we'll get into that mid to late February. Of course, love mock drafts. My favorite thing to do. NFL, NBA, I love doing them. And that's where I know I said that I'd wait, but I didn't do one last week. So I want to do one this week. 12.0 mock draft, no trades, just teams where they're at, who I think they would pick at that pick. I have done a lot more, you know, watching film, studying guys as prospects. You're going to see some new names in here, different guys going to different teams, got kind of stagnant there, which is why I do random ones as well. You probably won't get one next week, or you might actually know next week. 13.0 will probably be a wild one where we do trades and it'll be two rounds. And then after the Super Bowl will be when I do, you know, you have the official, obviously it's on, you know, you Chiefs, Niners. I right now, since I have the draft order 1 through 30, I just put the Chiefs at 31, Niners at 32, just because if it goes by, it would go by records too. So Chiefs, Niners obviously had a better record, so I put them at 32, Chiefs at 31, but we'll obviously have the full one. And we'll probably do, next week we'll probably do 13.0 with a lot of trades. And then I think we'll do 14.0 after the Super Bowl, two rounds as well, no trades. But yeah, we'll get into that at the very end. Let's kick it off. Conference championship start with the game that started first. Chiefs defense handles the Ravens offense. They win 17-10 to advance to their fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. we'll talk about the Ravens and Lamar first, and then we'll get into the greatness of the Kansas City Chiefs and what they're doing is, you know, insane is what they're doing. Man, you know, people always say that I'm a Lamar hater. I'm not a Lamar hater. I am a Lamar truther. What he does in the regular season is spectacular. He deserves the league MVP this year. 100% he should be league MVP. And obviously a postseason can't change that. You have regular season league MVPs for a reason. He was the MVP of the regular season, no doubt. What I've always said, though, is when the game's tight and it's against another good team, and if they happen to be losing like they were today, can he deliver? Yeah, he ended up throwing for around 250 some, right? But let's be honest, he made some poor throws. I've always said I don't think his footwork in the pocket is great. That's why he underthrows and overthrows a lot of balls, in my opinion. His decision making in the pocket as a pocket passer is very questionable. You know, the pick he threw in the end zone, triple coverage. why? Not needed. It was a forced, terrible decision, in my opinion, you know? People say, oh, pass interference, and the refs, and it's just funny, you know, people love to get on, and it happens, you know, I'm not going to say I've never blamed the refs either, but when you look at it, man, triple coverage, you know, it was still thrown into triple coverage. It wasn't, let's not, if you think it was pass interference, that's fine, but let's not act like it was a good decision, because it wasn't like a free play, where there was an offsides, and you throw it deep to the end zone. He had the fumble as well, ball security. And if you want to go off, you know, pass interference in the end zone, okay, what about the tripping by Justice Hill on Chris Jones in the end zone? That's a safety. That was missed. That's a big miss, too. You can argue, yeah, if the pass interference is called, the Ravens get the ball at the one. That's correct. Well, guess what, though? The Chiefs should have gotten an extra 2 points in that game because of the tripping that was missed. So you got to look at it both ways. You can't go on there and just say the refs were awful for Baltimore. The roughing the passers they called were clear roughing the passers. Jadeveon Clowney could easily stop, and he uses his full head into Mahomes' head. And the defensive tackle that committed it absolutely decks Mahomes in the face. Like, those weren't bad calls. Stop. You know, I know, I understand. It happens. You want to blame the refs for a loss. Maybe look at your quarterback as well, though. Missed throws. Triple coverage throw, a fumble. He threw the ball into triple coverage in a big spot where he didn't need to. It was so rushed. Yeah, like I've said, I think Lamar's a tremendous player, and he deserves to be 2-time league MVP. People were trying to say that he's a top 15 quarterback of all time already. He's not even top 3 in the NFL today. He's not better than Mahomes. He's not better than Burrow. He's not better than Allen. He's just not better than them. He's just, you know, I mean, let's not overreact to things. A top 15 quarterback ever? We'll have a list next week. I'm going to list my top 15 quarterbacks ever. And then people can message me and react and see if you think Lamar is better than any of those quarterbacks in the top 15. That's ludicrous. Top 15? Come on now. That's just crazy. That's so crazy to say that he's top 15 ever. That's just a bad, bad statement to make. He's not top 15. I don't even know if he's top 25 ever. Two league MVP, that's great. But like I've said, in big games in the playoffs, when he has to throw down the field, when he needs to throw from the pocket and dice up a defense, I don't think he can do it. I've always said that. I said that if they got behind in this game, they could be in trouble. And they were. They scored 10 points. The Chiefs were terrible offense. The Chiefs' offense gave Baltimore every possible way to get back in that game and win the game. And Lamar couldn't do it. That's just what it was at the end of the day. Now let's talk about the Chiefs, man. This is in 5 years, they've had 4 Super Bowl appearances now. This is crazy. Mahomes has played 6 seasons as a starter. Obviously, his first year, he sat behind Alex Smith. He played 1 game at the end of the regular season. 6 years for Mahomes as a starter. 6 conference title games, 4 Super Bowl appearances now, 2 Super Bowls, could win 3. This is a dynasty, and this is unbelievable. Teams don't do this. Rare. Patriots, they did it. Let's go back to the 90s. The Cowboys, you know, in the 80s, the Niners. This doesn't happen, though. This is so rare. 4 Super Bowls in 5 years. 4 Super Bowl appearances in 5 seasons for a team. It's just... Listen. In debating, you know, in the NBA, I think it's, you know, it's way more impressive what Brady did with 7 Super Bowls than it is winning a lot of rings in the NBA. Because you can be bad for 3 games and still win a title. You can play bad for 2 or 3 games and still win the NBA championship. In the NFL, you have to be good every game. Every game you have to be good. It's single elimination. That's what Brady did is ludicrous. 7 Super Bowl wins. That's crazy talk. Mahomes could be at 3 by 28. Brady's the best ever because of it, his longevity and his Super Bowl wins. But when it comes to being a quarterback and the talent, Mahomes is the best we've ever seen. And I hate to say this, I don't think it's debatable who Mahomes is. This Chiefs team is not great. But what have I always said? People have to realize who this guy is. You can't, and I mean you can't ever count him out. Let me get a drink. You just can't count him out. You know, he played the Dolphins, who were, you know, winning the AFC East that back half of the year until the last week of the regular season. He beat them at home 26-7. He then has his first road playoff game, underdog, everyone counting him out. Everyone said this is the Bills' year. Gets it done, all right? Oh, but there's no way Mahomes can go into Baltimore. This Baltimore team's too good. You can't go into Baltimore and beat Lamar and this team. He goes in and wins. Makes an unbelievable throw on 3rd and 9 to seal the game. And this offense he has, let's be honest about it. It's not great. It's not great. You know, it's not the best. This is the worst offense, in my opinion, he's had in Kansas City by far. Albeit, I'll give credit where credit's due. The best defense he's ever had for sure. That's secondary. I don't know what happened, but my goodness, that secondary, McDuffie, Snead, you know, the other guys, you know, the corners, Mike Edwards, he got hurt, but Mike Edwards and Justin Reed, the linebacking core. You know, the D-line didn't really get great pass rush today, but man, that secondary, they fucking cover. They cover you. And that's going to be that's a real interesting matchup now because you're facing a team in 49ers. They love quick throws, quick throws. And that'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs play with that, play against that. But man, this is unheard of. He's the best quarterback I've ever seen. Man, he's special. You can't count him out. He's your, to the AFC, to the NFL, this is your boogeyman. This is now your Brady. You have to go through him. And of course, this isn't going to continue. We're not going to be 9 years in as a starter with 8 Super Bowl appearances, with 7, 7 Super Bowl appearances. We're not going to get there. He's going to lose, right? He's lost before. You know, but he's not going to be there in the Super Bowl every year. But man, you have to beat him, and that's going to be the toughest thing anybody's ever to have to do is to beat him. Only 2 quarterbacks have done it: Burrow and Brady. Burrow, in my opinion, is the second best quarterback in the NFL. Brady's the best quarterback ever, the best player ever. Like I said, 10 or 11 Super Bowl appearances in his career, 7 Super Bowl wins. But this is now your Brady, is Patrick Mahomes. Because in my opinion, if you were going to bury the Chiefs, this was the year with that offense, and they're going to play in the last game of the year again. And that's terrifying, that with this offense, he's able to get here again. I don't know. It's hard to put into words, you know, what this team's been able to do in this postseason run, all around, offense and defense. It's hard to put into words that they're here. Obviously, I picked them to be here. I picked them to be here, but... You know, that was me telling you, though, don't count him out. I'm going to bet on that guy, you know. But did I think they were rightful underdogs against Buffalo and Baltimore? Yeah, they were. They were rightful underdogs. But yeah, unbelievable. He's unreal and the Chiefs are unreal. But let's get into the next game. Wow, Lions led 24-7. A 24-7 lead. The Lions were up 24-7. And the Niners come back to win 34-31. At one point, scored 27 straight points, going up 34-24. Here's my thing. And again, this is going to go back to what I've always said. Dan Campbell, my opinion, I think he's a great leader and a great motivator. I don't think he's an elite head coach. I never have thought that, and I never will. This is, you're in an NFC championship game. Analytics? Get out of here. What? You're in a championship game to go to the Super Bowl. 24-7. Kick the field goal and go up 27-7. Game changed. Him going for it and them not getting it, the game flipped. You just felt the momentum shift. You could have been up 20 in that game. You then, down 27-24, choose to go for it again. Kick the goddamn field goal to tie the game. Because think about it. Yeah, I know he's a, you know, he's a risk taker. And that's fine if you like that. I like winning. I personally like winning. People say, oh, they're 12-5. I don't care. They're going home now. 12-5 flushed down the toilet because he wants to go for it and try to look like a genius at the end of the day when he now looks like an idiot, in my opinion. 27-24, you kick the field goal. If the Niners go down and score, you then would need just a touchdown to tie the game. Instead, you go for it and don't get it. They go score a touchdown. Now you need a touchdown, then an onside kick, and a field goal to tie the game. Get analytics the fuck out of my face when it comes to winning championships. You're in a championship game, right? You could go up 20. You had a great drive. Kick, take points in a championship game and go up 20. I don't know, man. I just don't know what to say. I think it was just dumb. I can't believe. And the first one, okay. The second one, though, to tie the game. The game is tied. Kick the field goal. You know you have a decent chance then to tie it if they go and score. Instead, you go for it and don't get it. You're down 10. And then you need two scores in little time. Right? Wild to me. Wild. It was wild play going. Congrats to the Niners, though. What a comeback. What a comeback. Brock Purdy looked fantastic in the second half. Looked really good. I give credit where credit's due. I'm not a huge fan of his either. You know, people thinking he's elite. But he had a great performance in the second half. And it's a rematch. Niners-Chiefs. So let's get into it. The odds. Niners open up as 2.5-point favorites. I'm no like wizard on what line should be set. I have a guess. So I was thinking about this before the game. I was like, okay, let's match it up. If it's Ravens-Niners, I would favor the Ravens by 3. If it is Ravens-Lions, I'd favor the Ravens by possibly a touchdown. If it's Chiefs-Lions, I favor the Chiefs by 4.5, 5. And if it was Chiefs-Niners, this was me, I would have said Chiefs minus 1.5, 2. I would expect the Chiefs to be favorites. I, again, understand why the Niners are favorites. You know, better regular season. They've looked like a better team all year. I just think when you get down to this point, that should go out the window, in my opinion. But that being said, I would screw the points. I'd take the Chiefs on the MO as of right now. My early prediction, I'd take the Chiefs to win. The Chiefs will get back Joe Thuney for the Super Bowl, which was a huge miss today. Huge miss. They will also get back Willie Gay, the linebacker, which was a huge miss in my opinion. I like Leo Chanel. Willie Gay's a lot better. I just don't really trust Brock Purdy. Again, I know he came back on the Lions. This is a lot different. He's not throwing for 300 on the Chiefs pass defense. Now, the key to victory for the Niners is to get in front to run the ball and run the ball. Right? I thought go back to that Ravens real quick. The Ravens acted. They were down 20. They were down 3-10. Or no, was it 7? 7-10. And just abandoned the run. Completely abandoned it. I was shocked. They played that second half like they were down 20. Why were they not running the ball? Niners got to run the football. It's a key to victory. They have to run the ball. For the Chiefs, the time of possession was unbelievable against Baltimore in that first half. Got to maintain it throughout a whole game, especially against the Niners, because I think they're a better team. Their offense is definitely more versatile and more weapons than the Ravens. You know, McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, Ayuk. That's tough. Chiefs secondary is up against it. This is a tough match. This is a tough matchup. For the Chiefs, it's just, you know, in my opinion, running the ball is huge for them, and their interior is so good at run blocking. Ravens front is great. The Niners, albeit they're good run defense as well, their defensive line is more built to rush the passer, in my opinion. So Chiefs running the ball, I think, you know, kind of look like a Buffalo-type game. Run the football, play action pass with Mahomes, that's a key. Chiefs defensive line getting better and more pressure than they did on Lamar. Obviously, I think Purdy's definitely easier to sack. So if they can get home, I think they'll be able to get... They missed out on probably 4 or 5 sacks today just because Lamar is so elusive. I think if they can get home, you know, like they did on Lamar in those 4 or 5 they missed, I think they can convert on most of those against Purdy. So yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. And obviously, a rematch of, you know, 4 years ago, Super Bowl. So yeah, great. Right now, early prediction. I'm going to go Chiefs 27-20. It's my early prediction. I'll probably stick to that. I just don't see Mahomes losing in this game. But again, it's a unbelievable game. The Niners are an unbelievable team. They were, you know, probably the most consistent team in the NFC all year. You know, the Cowboys and Eagles up and down. Lions were up there too as most consistent as well. But yeah, early prediction would be Chiefs. All right, let's get into my Champions League round of 16 predictions real quick. You got Real Madrid taking on RB Leipzig. I'm going to go leg one. Madrid gets a 2-1 win on the road and then a 2-0 win at home, so they move on. Man City versus Copenhagen. City, I'm going to go 3-0 on the road, and then I think that you'll probably just see them possess a lot at home and just get the game over with. 2-0 at home, so they advance. PSG versus Real Sociedad. PSG at home, I'm going to go 3-1 in leg 1 and then 1-1 in leg 2. So PSG advances 4-2 on aggregate. Bayern versus Lazio. Give me Bayern 2-1 on the road and then 3-0 at home to advance. Atletico Madrid, Inter Milan. This is a good one. This is one of the better matchups of the round of 16, in my opinion. I'm going to go 2-1 Inter at home and then a 2-2 draw on the road. So Inter advances 4-3 on aggregate. Dortmund-PSV, I expect a lot of goals. I'm going to go leg 1 Dortmund 3-2 and then 3-1 at home to advance. Barcelona-Napoli, this is going to be open. These games could be very high scoring as well. I'm going to go Napoli 3-2 at home only for Barca to come back 4-2 at home in leg 2. And Barca advances 6-5 on aggregate. Arsenal FC Porto. It can be tough to go play in Portugal, and I'm not a huge fan of Arsenal. I don't think they're as good as people think they are, especially their fan base. I'm going to go 2-2 draw at Porto, and then I'm going to go Arsenal 3-0 though at home. I think they take care of business at home in advance. So I got Real Madrid, Man City, PSG, Bayern, Inter Milan, Dortmund, Barcelona, and Arsenal advancing to the round or to the quarterfinals. So my 12.0 Power 16 college basketball rankings, here we go. Purdue stays at the top at 19-2. I believe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 all stay the same. I believe so. I believe that's how I had it. Yeah, Purdue, UConn 2, North Carolina 3, Houston 4, Kentucky 5, Tennessee 6 is my top 6. 7, I got Duke coming up in the rankings, Wisconsin 8. And Kansas down to 9. Again, you know, they split this week. A tough loss on the road. They got to figure it out. Arizona at 10. Auburn down to 11 after 2 losses this week. Iowa State up to 12. Texas Tech up to 13. South Carolina up to 14. And then Creighton at 15 and Utah State at 16. Next 5 out, I'm going Marquette, Illinois, Alabama, TCU, and Ole Miss. Games of the week, like I said, big ones. Fee last week, what a week for him. He went 7-3. I went 4-6. First week for me under 500. I'm 64-24 overall. I'm 15-12 versus Fee. He's 19-8, so a 4-game cushion here. for Fee, and this is, I believe this is the third one. No, this would be the fourth one we picked. Yep, fourth one we picked. So first one, this will be out Monday morning, obviously doing the Sunday night, but Monday night, Houston at Texas. We're both taking Houston. I think it's a tight game, though. Tuesday, January 30th, you got South Carolina at Tennessee. We're both taking Tennessee. Texas Tech at TCU. We're both taking TCU. Oklahoma at Kansas State. I'm going OU in a surprise one. They'll be underdogs. He's going K-State. Thursday, February 1st, Wisconsin at Nebraska. We're actually both going Nebraska in an upset in that one on Thursday. And then Saturday, huge slate of games. UConn at St. John's. This is I'm going St. John's in an upset. You know me. I like to pick some upsets. Give me St. John's. He's taking UConn. Houston at Kansas. What a big one that is. We're both taking KU to get the job done there. Auburn at Ole Miss. This was a tough one for both of us. I think our two toughest games to pick, we both agreed, were Auburn at Ole Miss and Iowa State at Baylor. We're both going Auburn. I'm a little worrisome about it, though. And this one for me was honestly the easiest one to pick. Duke at North Carolina. I think North Carolina is just a much better basketball team. I'm taking Carolina. Iowa State at Baylor. This is when we differed. He ended up going with Baylor. I am going Iowa State on the road to beat Baylor. And then Tennessee at Kentucky. I mean, what a slate of games Saturday. Give me Kentucky. We're both taking Kentucky. Sunday, February 4th is another big one. Purdue at Wisconsin. This is one we differ on as well. He's actually taking Wisconsin at home. Can't blame him there. I'm going to go Purdue, though. I just think they're head and shoulders the best team in the Big Ten. So I'm going to go Purdue. I need to get some back here. I need to take those swing games that we have to get back closer in the record because he poured it on last week. So let me grab one more drink, and then we'll get into my draft college draft prospects rankings. All right. Updated top 15 2024 NBA draft college prospects. Number one, Cody Williams, the wing from Colorado. That kid's special. I think he's going to have an argument for the number one overall pick. I think he's that good. Obviously, you got some international guys that will be fighting for that as well, but he's unreal. Two, I'm going Isaiah Collier, the point guard at USC. I know he got injured, but I just think he's so dynamic and he can play off ball as well. I really love his game. Third, I'm going to go Jacoby Walter, the shooting guard from Baylor. Real stud as well. Got a couple back-to-back. Oh, no, sorry. This will be for Kentucky first. Number four, Rob Dillingham, point guard of Kentucky. Just uber talented. Don't know about his defense and his effort at times on defense and maybe a little bit lack of IQ at times. Real, real heat check guy, but he's really good. Five, Stephen Castle, the guard from UConn. Six, Reed Shepard, the point guard from Kentucky. I love his game. A couple bigs here, back-to-back. Seven, I'm going Filipowski at seven from Duke over Klingon at UConn. I think Filipowski's better fit for the NBA than Klingon with his shoot with Filipowski with his three-point shooting ability. At nine, Dalton Knecht, the wing from Tennessee. I know he's older, but I think these next two guys, I think they'll be able to find minutes immediately in the NBA. And that's Kevin McCullough out of Kansas. Just his ability to two-way, his shot creation and his jump shot has gotten so much better since last year. I think, again, just the way he plays and how hard he plays, he'll find himself in a rotation. 11, guy that's dropped off for me, Tyrese Proctor, had a better game here against Clemson on Saturday, but he's dropped off, man, hasn't looked very good. He could possibly be a guy that comes back to school for his junior year as well. 12, DJ Wagner, the point guard from Kentucky. Kentucky's so stacked. You could have Bradshaw and the other center in here as well. They didn't make the cut, but Justin Edwards, wing from Kentucky at 13, uber athletic, love his game. At 14, I'm going Yves Misi, center from Baylor. Very talented. And then Tristan Da Silva, another Colorado. Two Colorado guys in the top 15 for me. The forward from Colorado, Tristan Da Silva. But yeah, there is my updated top 15 2024 NBA draft college prospects. And let's get into the finale. 12.0 2024 NFL mock draft. No trades at all here in this mock. Again, done a lot more research and getting my big boards upgraded and stuff and updated. So I think you'll see some different names to different teams. And it's an updated, especially later in the draft. And I'm going, I do golf a little of what I hear, but I also like to do what I think should happen as well. Hold on. What happened here? What happened in this mock draft? Hold on. We have an issue. Is this the right one? Hold the phone for a second. Let me fix this up real quick. Yeah, this is not what I had. okay. This got all mixed up. Sorry about this. Got all mixed up here, but we will get it situated right now. All right, there we go. There you go. Like I said, you're going to see some new faces in here as well. Okay, so here we go to kick it off. At number one overall, the Chicago Bears will take Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC. Again, I think it's a must. You reset the quarterback clock. You leave yourself with more cap room. You got to do it. And he's just the best prospect in the draft. Redskins at two take Drake May, quarterback at North Carolina. I think we'll find out who his potential head coach will be in the coming days. Patriots at three take Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. And the Cardinals sitting there at four, very happy. Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. Chargers, I think they're going to, you know, you're going to have to move off of a lot of these contracts. So I think, you know, adding a special weapon like Brock Bowers from Georgia will be a nice fit for Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. At six, the Giants take Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU. At seven, the Titans take Olu Fashanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State. They need to replace that tackle spot, protect Will Levis, keep him upright. Falcons at eight, I think they will be a team that's involved in getting Fields. I can see that. That's kind of my landing spot for Fields. So yeah, Dallas Turner, edge out of Alabama, to the Falcons at eight. At nine, the Bears. You drafted Caleb. I know you could say go defense. I think their defense played really well, and I think you can add to that in free agency with, you know, resetting the quarterback contract. So I'm going to go another weapon, Romo Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington. Him and League Neighbors are neck and neck for me at 2-3. You could easily flip these two guys, but I have Neighbors a little ahead right now. Just Neighbors so damn talented, but Romo Dunze as well, special receiver. You add him with DJ Moore, Cole Kmet. That's some nice weapons for Caleb Williams in his rookie year. At 10, the Jets, got to keep Rodgers right next year, got to keep him upright. Give me Joe Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. Vikings at 11, people saying quarterback here. I think you bring back Kirk Cousins. You try to address that next offseason in the draft if need be. But yeah, give me Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama. At 12, the Broncos. Here's my fourth and last quarterback of this mock. Broncos at 12 take Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. I think him with Sean Payton, I think Sean Payton could really, really mold this guy into something. I really do. I love this fit for Penix, and I think Sean Payton can do wonders with him. Raiders at 13, I'm going J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. I think that they're going to look and say, man, do we really want Bo Nix this high? You know, you probably will as it gets closer see Bo Nix going higher after I hear things and stuff. And you might see him here to the Raiders. But I think you've heard the names of Russell Wilson potentially or Tannehill coming in. I know they did that with Garoppolo, but I think Tannehill and Russell Wilson have more to give than Garoppolo does. At 14, the Saints go Jared Versay, the edge at a Florida State. Keep adding to that D-line, get that pass rush even nastier. Colts at 15 go Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa. I love his versatility. He can play all over the field. In that secondary, he can play safety, he can play corner, he can play the slot. I love Cooper DeJean. 16, Seattle. I'm going Latu, the edge out of UCLA. Again, a team that you might think quarterback at times. Geno only signed a 3-year deal before last season, so they could look quarterback. You never know. Jaguars at 17. I'm going Troy Fatanu, offensive lineman out of Washington. I think this guy's unreal. He can play guard. He can play tackle. And they need to do a better job at keeping Trevor Lawrence upright as well. Bengals at 18. I do think T. Higgins walks. I'm going to go Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State, big body receiver to replace, T. Higgins, who's a big body receiver. Rams at 19. I'm going Chop Robinson, the edge out of Penn State. Again, I think they just need to get younger on the D-line, and he's an absolute stud. Steelers, again, they need help on the O-line, so I'm going to Marius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. 21, the Dolphins. I think, you could definitely, O-line could be a pick here, but I kind of want to go different. I think they need help. I know they have Christian Wilkins, but I think they need help stopping the interior run at times. I'm going to go Jerzon Newton, interior D-lineman at Illinois. I think it's a great fit. Eagles at 22, you go a lot of ways with Eagles, but I'm going youth in the secondary. Give me Kool-Aid McKinstry, corner out of Alabama. Houston at 23, I'm going Braylon Trice, the edge out of Washington. I think just him opposite of Will Anderson, don't get me wrong, he can rush the passer, but he's a really good run stopper as well. I think he just kind of balances them out. Cowboys at 24, I'm going Talese Fuaga, the offensive tackle out of Oregon State. Cowboys need to get younger on the offensive line. Packers at 25, I'm going Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. And then Buccaneers, a new name here in the top. My first-round mock, Landon Jackson, the edge of Arkansas. I think he's really good, and I think it's going to be a need as they get older on the D-line. I think they'll need an edge. This could obviously be a wide receiver pick as well, but I kind of wanted to go something different, and edge is a need. Cardinals, obviously they took Marvin Harrison Jr. This time I'm going Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback of Toledo. He's been flying up boards. And, man, he's talented. I really like him, and I think the Cardinals take a swing on him here at 27. Bills at 28. Give me Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver LSU, the other LSU receiver. They need another receiver. I think they could be moving off Gabe Davis. Potentially, this could also be a secondary pick here, a safety or a corner, but I want wide receiver in this mock. Lions at 29. I'm going Michael Hall Jr., interior D lineman out of Ohio State, helping stop the run. Obviously, they need secondary help as well, but I mock so many corners to them. I'm going to go interior D lineman on this one. Ravens at 30. Give me Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon. I don't think they bring Odell back. I think you could see them possibly move off Bateman. They need another guy in there, and I really like Troy Franklin a lot. Chiefs at 31. They're going to go Jalen Polk, the other Washington receiver. Love his game. You throw him in the mix with Rashee Rice and Kelsey next year, and maybe bring in a better veteran receiver alongside of them three. I think they'd be a tremendous fit. And the Niners at 32, I'm going Kalen King, the cornerback at a Penn State. I think if that's anything that they need the most on the defense side, it would be secondary help, maybe a run stopper. And you definitely could look at the O-line as well. But I went corner here, Kalen King. I think it's great value. I think he's really good, and they could use some help in the secondary. So, yeah, that is my 12.0 2024 NFL mock draft. And like I said, we'll have one. We will have one next week that's a little bit more wild, I would say, to say the least. It's a little more wild. We'll have a bunch of trades, a bunch of teams moving up, moving down, and so that'll be fun. KB and the boys, I had a downer week, went minus 1.27 back in third. Schmidt had a great week, obviously one bet and he hit it. Colby's still in first. Is Schmidt in second? Back up to second, me back down to third, Nick in fourth, and Carter in fifth. Carter will need to find a heater at some point. Panel parlay falls to 0-3. It was my leg that lost it. Lamar Jackson, anytime touchdown. Playoff picks, I believe Schmidt has it wrapped up. Yeah, he's 8-4. Me, Nick, Colby at 6-6, Carter at 3-9. Games of the week, though, we are all 4-4, which is tremendous. So, yeah, we'll be back with that, every Friday. Friday evening, be out Friday evening, Saturday morning. Make sure to also give that a listen on Friday night or Saturday morning. So that'll do it for Unedited. We'll be back next week with a final Super Bowl prediction. Some UFC cards will be heating up more as well, which is nice. Thank you all again for listening and for all the support. I love you all. Peace.